Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness, dial it up, or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla, or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Merry New Year and happy 2020. I don't need any more of the 2020 jokes, by the way. Barbara Walters has been way too prevalent on my timeline, and 2020 vision is already overdone and got its run. So with that being said, Merry New Year to all the suspects.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Nick is here. I'm here. Painfully noticeable in not being here.
Barry Laminack. Well, he's sick, and I feel like it's going around the city.
Thanks to Barry.
And he's officially on the antibiotics. And
spreading it like manure on his lawn talk.
Get well soon, bud.
Yeah, he's out. We're in. Aaron Raybould, nice enough to join us for the next 3 hours as he does the long shift. We promised you we would be here on Tuesday, only to find out that we were quarantined because of the outbreak that Barry brought to the station.
No. Preempted by, which bowl games?
I'm driving home, and I'm listening to the Blitz, and I hear them casually mention, oh yeah, from 11 to 11, tomorrow, we got bowl games. I'm like, wait, what?
I was shocked, too, when you called me and told me after the show. I was like, really? We're not doing a show?
I call you on the way home, and I call Barry. I go, y'all realize we're not working tomorrow, right? And everybody's like, huh? And AJ, so I texted AJ, and he goes, yeah. He said it was on the rundown. It was last week's. I don't know. I didn't even go back and check. I was like, well, I guess we're off.
So I get this massive vacation, that 9-day vacation. I come back, do one day of The Usual Suspects, and it just felt like my vacation just restarted. When I had to go back and take another day off after being off for 9 days. It just felt weird. But it's good to be back. It does feel like a Monday, like you mentioned before the show.
Yeah, it really does.
It kind of does feel
like a Monday. In a lot of different ways. I keep thinking about this, and people are texting me about things, and they're like, well, we could do that on Monday. And I'm like, that's today. And then they're like, no, today's Thursday. I'm like, yeah, just because that the holiday happened in the middle of the week, it really does. It feels like a Monday today.
You and Lisa probably partied hard with the newborn, right? I'm assuming.
No. Absolutely not. It was watch the Rockets, watch some football. Basically, we ordered some takeout and we stayed home.
Cool. I mean, I obviously went out. I went to a couple of places, bar hopped and stuff. It was fun. Didn't do anything too crazy. Drove and did not get hit by anybody.
What is the first thing that I told you when you were texting me before you went out?
And everybody was telling me not to drive too, but I just did not want to get the Uber. That was going to be an expensive ass Uber.
Oh, come on.
That was cheap. From Missouri City to downtown? That's an expensive ass Uber. On New Year's?
Well, that I can understand, but it's worth it to save your life.
For sure.
There's a bunch of idiots out there. Amateur night on New Year's is the worst. Look, and I say this all the time, and when Lisa was doing the news, I always said, look, the most unsafe place to be in all of America might be Highway 59 after midnight.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It can be really dangerous, especially because cars are like driving really fast. There's parts of 59 that I'm not going to say rarely gets trafficy, but there's like these long stretches sometimes where there's just not that much traffic. So everybody feels more comfortable to go 60, 70, 75, 80 miles an hour. And I saw a tweet from, I think it was a radio host from another station, and he said at 11:40,
yeah,
that people were still 11:40, like 20 minutes before noon the next day.
Oh,
that people were still driving around drunk and hungover. Like, people were partying till like 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock.
Well, the line at Whataburger the next day was like 16 deep when Lisa and I drove by. And she's like, well, I go, that is the need for grease. That is the hangover the next day. Everybody is lined up to get the grease in to hopefully get the hangover out.
I know which Whataburger you're talking about. I actually go there all the time. And it's always busy, to be honest. But I would imagine on New Year's, it was worse.
Aaron, did you do anything wild and crazy on New Year's?
I went to a party with some of my wife's friends, but nothing crazy, no. Paced myself.
Attaboy.
Made sure I didn't, you know, get beyond the...
Did you drive?
I did, but I also stopped drinking 3 hours before I drove. So.
Okay, well, that helps a lot.
I rushed it. got there and was like, all right, I can just chill for a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's a smart way to... I mean, I was warning Nick about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, day of. And he was already making preparations for what he was going to do. And I was like, bro, look, there's going to be a lot of idiots on the road. You got to be careful. Now I get to the studio. Now he waits till we get on air to tell me that he drove.
Well, when I remember what I was telling you, man, I'm a party hard tonight. Yeah. I remember I was telling you all that. Well, he didn't get to the spot until about 11:30, 11:45. And then they initially hit us with this, like, quick dinner that we got.
So like, you ate right up until
it
midnight?
It wasn't like a dinner. It was like a sample type of situation where these restaurants came in and kind of sampled some of the items that they have on their menu.
Yeah.
And so I was so distracted by that, and I ate. And then next thing you know, it's like 11:55. I was like, oh, my God, it's going to be 2020. I really didn't start drinking until about 12:30. And I stopped pretty early like Aaron did. Okay. I didn't really, that's part of the reason why, because I was actually tempted. I told my buddy Sam that I probably might leave my car in downtown, and I didn't want to in the event that, it got crazy. I feel like driving there was safer, but driving away would be a lot more dangerous. So I stopped drinking.
Okay. As long as you did that, then shocking, I feel better.
Shockingly,
than,
I stopped drinking.
I was going to say, rather than going on a normal Nick Bender and then driving, that would have worried me more. If you stopped with ample time, that's good.
Yeah, it was spread out. The drinks were spread out. It wasn't, but it was still fun, man. That place was, it was the same place I told you about. You know what? I think I called it Disturbed. I'm not sure if that's the name. I think it's called Bo something. And it's right by the Toyota Tundra parking lot. And I think you've said you've seen it before, and it's had other names. I know,
yeah, it's been under names in the past.
But. Yeah. But that was my night. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you see, by the way, that there's a huge deal in New York City with Times Square with the fact that Domino's on New Year's Eve decided to charge $30 per pizza, and Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, called out Domino's and was pissed. And essentially, their normal $14.95 pizza was $30, and people were getting all off on him, like reminding him, like in 2015, there was a picture of him eating pizza with a knife and a fork, and forgetting about the fact that it's still the business world in the United States is about making money, and just like airlines jack up the prices during the holidays, Domino's did the same thing, and they're like going back and forth taking shots at each other. I'm like, really, over pizza in Times Square?
Double the price on New Year's? I mean, is that shocking to you?
No, it's smart business, right?
Yeah, I mean,
because there's going to be like how many millions of people in and around Times Square? Because that's everybody says that's on the bucket list. You got to experience it once.
Sure.
They're cold. They're hungry. Okay. Well, guess what? And I got what you need. And it's supply and demand. If I supply it, I demand you pay double. That's just the way it goes.
Dare I say that sounds a little cheap for Times Square, $30? Because honestly, New Year's, Times Square...
Yeah, because people were saying, by the slice, pizza was $4. Well, guess what? If you just go by do the simple math, that's $32 for a pizza on average if you're just buying it by the slice. So you save $2.
I guess it's more of a bad look when a big company does it, like a Domino's or a Pizza Hut, as opposed to like an independent guy.
I guess. Marking up.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm just talking out loud.
Anybody ever heard of a ticket scalper? Because for Super Bowl and big sporting events, they don't charge face value either.
No. I mean, when I went up to the spot that I went to for New Year's, they were telling me, oh, yeah, it's going to be $40, $50 cover. I was like, oh, that's about right for New Year's. I get up there, it's $100. Straight up. Like, you have to pay $100 just to get in.
Lisa and I were talking about that. I said to her, I said, we talk about all the straight cash grab of all cash grabs is New Year's Eve for restaurants and bars.
Because
all they got to do is give you a glass of champagne, some streamers, and some funky glasses and hats. And they can charge you $100 a head if they wanted to or more.
That door guy kills it on New Year's,
oh,
probably.
Oh, my God. It's like being in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine he's making somewhere close to $1,000, maybe even more. Depending on how big the venue is,
Yeah.
Like, if it's a smaller venue, maybe not that much. But a big venue, I can see. There's a lot of clubs now. They have, like, 4 or 5 rooms in one club. So
when I was with the Rockets, and they did the annual New Year's Eve game, and depending on what the visiting team was, especially if it was like Milwaukee and my buddy's the equipment manager, and he'd hit me up and he'd say, hey, the guys want to go out somewhere. Can you line it up? Well, all my buddies that were doormen, that was easy because they didn't care. The players didn't care if they tipped him and as long as they found a table for the guys and got him in and didn't have to worry about all the details. And so there's no doubt the doormen kill it. Doormen? Restaurants and bars kill it on New Year's Eve, and there's absolutely no overhead in doing so.
I guess it was just funny because the mayor of all people called Domino's out. You would think you would see something like that on Twitter, calling Domino's out for being double the price on New Year's in Times Square. But it is. I mean, look, I don't. I, I honestly probably would have dropped the $30 if I was hungry.
I would have
enough.
Too. Because actually, it seems like a bargain compared to what prices are in New York for other things.
That's what
I wouldn't
like.
Have had a problem with it.
I don't even know what a slice of pizza in New York is probably it probably breaks $10.
Well, the article I read said it, you know, normally they were charging $4 for slice. Well, if you're going for straight New York pizzeria, I don't think it's $4 a slice.
I think so.
It's got to be more than that.
You know that Gotham pizza in downtown?
Yeah,
$10 a slice.
See, there you go.
They don't care because like people come off. They leave the clubs like at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and he'll stay open till like 3 or 4, and it's just.
Well, it's like the guy that used to pull up in the beat up Honda Civic and pop the back at bar time in Midtown and just pull out like
I think we talked about this guy
pizzas.
Before.
Yeah, 30 pizzas, and everybody's like, "Dude, I'm not paying. That pizza sucks." Next thing you know, he sold out within 10-15 minutes, and the guy's like, "Dude, what happened to that pizza guy?" Well, you snooze, you lose. He's gone already, and he's counting his money while everybody's filling their bellies trying to get rid of a huge buzz.
He's got a team of people now. He's got trucks
right?
driving around downtown now. Yeah, he's got a team of people now. You don't see him as much because there's so many more like delivery guys.
Smart guy.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty consistent from day one.
No doubt.
Since I started drinking, 21, that was 15 years ago. He was always in the streets of Midtown
21,
or downtown.
You were drinking way before that.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Well, we're just getting started here. We're here, so you should be too. We appreciate you suspects starting 2020 with us. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number, text that number. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, as we're going to be rolling till 4 o'clock. Lots to get to, from the bowl games to the Rockets. And if you want to join us, we'd love to have you. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Based on the weather today and maybe recently, you've looked at your house and you've realized I got a leak in my roof, or I'm thinking about putting a new roof on the house. I just don't know what to do and where to go. Well, look no further. Fitz Roofing, they make a difference for you because they're dedicated to the people of Houston. They've got an A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, and they're going to do great work for you too. All you got to do is call 832-521-3001 for a free no obligation inspection. They come to you, they tell you what they can do, and they wait for you to call them back. It's just an easy way of doing business. No pressure, no stress. 832-521-3001, or you can log on to fitzroofing.com. Simply put, their base warranties are longer and better than your average roofer, and they use the best product in the business. It's CertainTeed shingles, so much so they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it, you need it, you go to Fitz. If you got anything to do with a roofing issue, go to Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, just getting it kicked off. On a 2020 first show edition of The Usual Suspects, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's Aaron Raybould in for Barry, who we sincerely want to get well soon. We kid about the fact that, boy, he was walking dead on, Monday?
It was Monday. Before you, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Monday, because we were off Tuesday and Wednesday.
Correct. Yes, it was Monday.
Yeah. So it was actually a blessing that they had bowl games so that Barry could get the antibiotics and the prescriptions working, and hopefully we'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah, I would imagine it's going to be like 6 or 7 days for it to
he
fully...
He tweeted that he doesn't wish having the flu on anybody. And there's a lot of people he wishes bad things on.
But it's bad, though. I mean, his voice sounded terrible.
Yeah.
He could barely talk that one show on Monday. And honestly, the last hour was the one I was most concerned, because I felt like he was getting through it the first 2 hours. It was the third hour. Obviously, you had...
He was drinking honey.
I saw that. I thought honey was more of like a preventative type of thing you do every...
Well,
every day
for your
morning.
Voice, they always say for your voice, you do hot water and lemon.
Thinking for allergies.
And then you do shots of honey, but you do honey because I'll tell you what, nothing's more annoying. And Aaron, you guys have produced enough radio to know that when you have an announcer that's trying to fight their way through a show and their voice starts to go, it's so hard to listen to. And this morning, for the second straight day, Dominique Foxworth on ESPN, you could tell he lost his voice was going to on Tuesday. He comes back on Wednesday, and he's literally got the coffee mug in his hand with the hot water, the tea, and the lemon. That's like, bro, you got to take the day off. Because AJ will tell you, there's nothing more frustrating from the person whose voice is going than when you want to say things and project and you can't. But there's nothing more painful from a listener perspective than hearing that and going, God, stop already.
A lot of people actually thought that someone was filling in for Barry.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he just didn't have that same voice. He didn't have that same influx when he normally talks. So a lot of people didn't even think it was Barry because he just sounded like a completely different person. And it does suck to go through a show when you're fighting through, you know, voice issues, congestion, all that other stuff. It sucks. I mean, I don't know how he did it. I would not have shown up, but props to Barry, and hopefully he gets better soon.
All right, no doubt about it. So hopefully Barry's back tomorrow. That would be great.
So how are you feeling after your Wisconsin team? Are you like heartbroken? Was it a nail bite? Were you screaming at the TV?
No, it was painful simply because of the fact that going in, I was skeptical that they could cover the points, let alone beat Oregon, just because of the fact that they're just one-dimensional offensively. But then having watched the game and then there were just so many signs to me that they were going to be in the game, like returning the kick after the Oregon just meticulously went down the field and, you know, scored on that long drive. And the next thing you know, just like that, boom, Cruikshank goes right down the field, touchdown. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, now Oregon's got to try and do that again. And now in their minds, they're going, man, that was too quick. So I knew they were in it. Easy answer for me is, look, if you're going to turn the ball over four times and give up 21 points, you don't deserve to win.
Sure.
However, if it ends in a one-point game and you get that BS of a call on third and eight when it didn't affect the, and if you didn't see it, they called a push-off, an offensive pick play block on the wide receiver, not involved in the play, not even close to the play, where he was jammed up by a defensive back on the line of scrimmage after Wisconsin got a first down. They were past their own 40. It looked like they could get into field goal range. And it just completely changed the end of the game and didn't let the players play it out. It pissed me off.
In reality, he was just kind of bumped up in traffic, and he didn't really look like he extended his arms for the block, right?
Yeah, and if you listen to the referee, the former referee in the booth, he says, well, at that point, even though the defensive back has both hands on him and is jamming him and holding him, he's supposed to make a spin or a move to try and elude the jam, and he didn't do that. Well, just trying to take one arm and get the defensive back's arms off of him, I thought that was enough to say, look, he's just trying to free himself. It wasn't even close to blatantly blocking. And yet that changed the complexion of the end of the game. So I thought it was a great year for the team. I thought that obviously Jonathan Taylor getting over 2,000 yards again and joining Troy Davis as the only two running backs in the history of college football to surpass 2,000 yards in two seasons. A lot of great things. Again, they should finish, I would think, hopefully in the top 10 again. But for that program to do what they continually do without getting five-star recruits and doing what they did, I was happy with it. It's just, it's a tough way to lose.
Yeah, well, that was a bad call. But you did get the support of a former official, Gene Steratore.
Steratore. Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, that was the wrong call. So, I mean, he's on your side. He feels like Wisconsin got the raw end of the deal there. And look, sometimes one play makes a difference.
And here's the thing. You don't know if their kicker's going to make. He missed one, and they had two kickers. They had a kid that on the sideline, too, that had made a 63-yarder this year against Purdue. But when you play rotating kickers, you can tell that, you know, we know the psyches of kickers are fragile. You don't know if he's going to make it or not. But let the drive continue, and let it play out and see what happens. And look, you know, Herbert was having a great game, too. He might have marched them right back down the field if there was any time left, and they could have gotten a field goal, too. I don't know, but I would have liked to have seen the players play it out instead of having the referees make a call that ended up being the end of the game.
Justin, though, Herbert, he definitely deserves a lot of credit because he already played had two stiff arms before that big run that he made in the first half. He had like a 4-yard run and a 5-yard run, and he was able to stiff arm defenders on each of those plays. He deserves a lot of credit, man, because I don't know if they would have won without him, but that fake handoff, I mean, that must have been tough to win. God, that sucked. I didn't expect it to happen, but it did look pretty impressive. It just happened so quick.
Yeah, and you know what? And here's Herbert's a guy that I know he's got the prototypical NFL quarterback body, and everybody's
6'6",
you know,
or something,
you know,
like
swooning over his physical skills. But to me, in watching him play all year, I wasn't sold on his ability to, you know, make the accurate throws and do the kind of things that is needed for a quarterback on the next level. But he was impressive because most of the year they didn't really plan for him to run as much as he did against Wisconsin. And look, three rushing touchdowns. He did everything they asked him to do in the air, too. He made the gutsy third down pass that ended up ending the game as well. So give him credit, tip the cap, and go, hey, if he is the first quarterback off the board, then good luck on the next level.
I actually read in a piece that one of his teammates, either a linebacker or an offensive lineman, said, he encouraged Justin to start running more because he would always do it in practice, but he didn't do it as much as, he would like to see him do in the game. And so that's what he did. He said, just work your angles. Just explode. When you feel like you've made that decision to run, just do it. Just don't hesitate.
I think Lamar Jackson has changed the complexion of how the position is played on both levels, college and pro, in that it used to be discouraged and you never wanted your quarterback because you were worried about taking a hit. And all it takes is one hit and it could be devastating. But if you do it smartly and there's a wise way of orchestrating runs like they do and you get down, I think it obviously Lamar Jackson has rewritten the rule book in terms of what's acceptable and what's going to work from an offense.
And he probably had to evolve into that because even your boy Trapp, when he was doing the show with us, he wasn't really high on Lamar Jackson either. He actually said, "I can't trust a quarterback with a running back mouthpiece." Remember, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
but he didn't really show, honestly, to his credit, to Travis's credit. Lamar, in my opinion, didn't show that he deserved all that stock. Honestly, early on, he just didn't. And you know what? Derrick Henry didn't really show he had all that stock when he got drafted. And now I feel like he's viewed as a way more better running back than they thought he was going to be when he came in. Coming from Alabama, he wasn't that high.
Oh yeah, he was. I mean, still a first round pick, high first round pick, won the Heisman. I think Derrick Henry was a guy that they thought might actually be better on the next level because of the fact that he was so intimidatingly physical. And he had the wheels to do what he did. From a Lamar Jackson standpoint, look, and I've heard AJ say this and lots of other people say this, I'll be the first to admit, I did not see him as a quarterback on the next level. I didn't think he could pass well enough, and I didn't think it would work. But credit to the Ravens. Credit to Greg Roman and Harbaugh and all those guys. They literally embraced it. They built an offense around it. And Lamar Jackson, as an athlete, as a football player, is just off the charts with his speed and athleticism and all the things he does. But the fact that everybody kind of had to buy in for it to pay off, and it has, it now changes the complexion of how offensive coordinators work. If you've got an athletic quarterback and you're not utilizing his legs, that's on you.
Credit to Harbaugh, because I think this is what he does. I mean, he was over Joe Flacco. I mean, he puts the right pieces around quarterbacks, and he works with what he got. It's like he's a really good coach at that.
At least one Harbaugh does, because the other one, boy. I mean, that leash has got to be dangerously short if you're at Michigan.
I think people had higher expectations by now.
Sure.
At this point. So I can see how the seat's getting a little hot.
I said to AJ, and he questioned me because he 10-win guy. How could he be on the hot seat? I'm like, look, as a Big Ten guy, if you don't beat Ohio State for one, and you're not consistently in the college football playoffs, that's a problem in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on I don't know how much of a leash you give a guy like Harbaugh, though. I feel like he does kind of have a long one. But it is a 10-win season, but at the same time, it really depends on his relationship with the front office and everybody up there. Like, do they really afford him that much of a leash? Because some coaches get it and some don't.
That's interesting. All right, we'll continue to roll on. That was the Rose Bowl. There's also that Sugar Bowl with Baylor and Georgia and lots of other things to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Text, call, or hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I'll jump right in and pull my pin and go with you.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry out sick. Hopefully he gets better soon. It's Nick and myself along with Aaron Raybould as we roll through a Thursday in the big city that feels more like a Monday as we get rid of the hangover that was New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and now the new year ahead of us, 2020, which we're going to make even more spectacular than we've done on the Suspects previously. talking about a lot of different things as we get going here. To me, we can talk about the Baylor-Georgia game. But before I say that, let me say this and get your guys' feelings on this. But as I love the college football playoffs, I love the fact that we're not waiting a month, month and a half before we get to the big games that everybody wants to see. However, it makes New Year's Day anticlimactic in a lot of ways because what has been decided has already been decided. We know who's playing in the national championship game. And those used to be New Year's Day and then January 3rd were the two biggest college bowl games of the year or bowl days of the year. And now, because of the fact that we had the two semifinal games already played, the Rose Bowl, yeah, you had two top 10 teams. Yeah, you had some decent matchups, Michigan, Alabama, and Baylor and Georgia, but it was almost like they were the also-rans that came up short, right? And now all we're waiting for is January 13th, the national title game. It takes a lot of luster out of what used to be, you were hungover or not, but you knew New Year's Day, you were going to kick back and watch some great bowl games. They were good, but I was like, meh.
Obviously, the Wisconsin game with all the turnovers.
You're just going to keep bringing that up, like turning the knife on me.
Well, right? I mean, six lead changes. That was more of
a good, great game.
It was a really good game. So I can kind of see what you're saying, though. I feel like college football fans, like real college football fans, they probably like, they may like it to fall on New Year's Day just because they're so geeked out about college football, like 24/7. I'm pretty sure a lot of college football and NFL fans are getting that feeling knowing that their season is, you know, the season is almost over, or at least the playoffs are almost over. But yeah, no, I mean, some of the games I liked, but you're right. I wasn't necessarily going crazy for any of them. I mean, the Georgia, we mentioned Oregon, Wisconsin. I keep mentioning that, obviously. The Minnesota-Auburn game wasn't terrible, was it?
Better game than I thought.
It wasn't terrible at all.
I did not think, and I would not have picked Minnesota to beat Auburn. But I also feel like, in my mind, there was a letdown from an Auburn perspective in the fact that, you know, after really stepping up against Alabama, playing well late in the year, that the fact that they were playing Minnesota in a kind of, again, kind of an also-ran bowl, they were like, eh. And it was a good game. I did not expect that Minnesota, but this is a lot of the times, this is when you mentioned Travis, and Trap used to always say with Florida State, if it wasn't like a national championship type game, that they would bow out. He was the guy that was talking mad mess about Florida State being so much better than U of H a couple years ago, as you know.
Yeah.
And then they didn't show up, and U of H just boat raced them. And
I remember that.
And it was like, then his narrative on the way back was, well, it wasn't a big game. We weren't fired up for it. It was just the Peach Bowl or whatever it was. Bottom line is, that's why people that gamble have so much fun in these type situations. Because if you're a program as prestigious as even an Auburn, and you're playing an also ran in or one of the middle of the pack or upper echelon middle of the pack Big Ten teams, you're like, eh. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with Travis. I think you're in the middle of the game, and then at what point you start seeing the faces on FSU, like, oh my God, it's too late in the game to now realize that they're a lot better than we thought they were, you know? And then it becomes a situation where the momentum builds. And I think that's kind of what happened in that Houston game. Not that Houston wasn't talented. I just feel like they're like, all right, we messed up there. We messed up in the second quarter. We'll get it back in the second half. And then next thing you know, it's, you know, almost the end of the third going into the fourth. And Florida State's like, we don't have much time to win this game. But Houston, they've kind of lost their
luster.
Yeah, I feel
quickly.
Like,
but so does Florida State. You look at Florida State, and now they're trying to get back, which was, what, decades of national prominence. And all of a sudden, you're like, what the hell happened? They just fell off the face of the earth, and now they're trying to reconstruct it and bring it back. And it used to be that everybody was clamoring just like they wanted, you know, the Alabama job or the big-time school job.
Sure.
The SC job, which is obviously going to be Helton's for one more year, but it was up there in terms of a job if it was open that people would want. Where was Urban Meyer going to go of those big-time jobs? Florida State used to be mentioned right in that same breath.
Oh, it's without a doubt up there with all those big schools.
Now everybody's like,
And then when you consider some of the players that came out of there, I mean, that in itself, like, I mean, maybe not, perhaps not recently, but in its heyday, they had a bunch of players.
They still had Jameis Winston. They still have had a lot of top quality players, Dalvin Cook, that have come out of Florida State. But it just seems
Aaron
like
Hernandez, terrible person.
No, that's Florida, not Florida State.
He was in Florida? Florida
State? He was Florida.
He was
a Gator.
Oh, yeah. He was?
Yeah. But, you know, overall, when you look at it, you're like, you know, as quickly as you get up there, you can fall from prominence very just as fast, like a lead balloon. So Florida State's trying to rebuild, but Urban Meyer never once said, well, Florida State's a job that I would consider. His name was being mentioned for SC.
And in the Cleveland.
Now he's mentioned in the NFL ranks. But yeah, it's just, you know, I just feel like, and Aaron, I don't know how you feel about this. It just feels like, because I enjoy the fact that the two semifinal games are earlier now, but it does. It just kind of takes away from New Year's Day.
It does, but it's also, I feel like there were a lot of teams that, even all the way to the midway through the season, people thought, oh, this is going to be a really good race for who's going to be that fourth seed. Who's going to be that third seed? Well, we can already count, you know, Ohio State and Clemson in. Oh, wait, LSU's now proved. They deserve to be. Okay, so it's one seed is left. We got it. And then every team went out and lost a game and then lost a second game. And then went, well, I mean, we got Oklahoma. I guess we'll throw them in there, but they're a lamb to slaughter.
But you're a college football guy. Like, you would say you like college football more than NFL. Is that safe to say or no?
I like them about equally.
Okay, but you're a college football guy.
Like, yeah,
football,
I enjoy watching it.
Okay, because I think he would be the better guy to ask, like, in terms of, did it take away the luster of New Year's Day?
Yeah, that's why I fired it off of him, because, I mean, look, you look at it and you say, that's why Barry and I had the discussion the other day, and I just said, look, this was one of those years where you knew who the three teams were, and essentially, like you said, who's going to be the sacrificial lamb as the fourth team? Because even if you felt like there was a cut and dried number four, it was such an easy game for whoever had the one seed, as opposed to a war that was going to be between two and three, and it was going to be who was playing Clemson. So it was basically already decided before it was decided. And again, that's why, you know, New Year's Day, Lisa's like, when do your games start where you just have to? And I'm like, they don't. Wisconsin doesn't play till 4 o'clock. So up until four, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, if you're waiting, I guess the anticipation kind of sucks. Like, you're sitting there waiting for that game to start at 4 o'clock and it's new. Yeah, I can see that. I can kind of see that. I would want it to start a little bit earlier, too. I'm not mad at 12 o'clock starts all the time, like earlier starts, even if I've been drinking the night before all the time, because sometimes I want to get one or two games early in out of the way. So,
but I'm saying, it used to be on New Year's Day. You could pretty much bet from 11 a.m. on you were going to have great football games to watch. It's not that way anymore.
No. And it was, and that's why you could even tell, like, at like Vegas sports books, you would see that it's just busy for a lengthier time, just because of the way the schedule was fit in terms of the college football games. But yeah,
pro tip from my wife, greatest call ever. She said, "Let's go to the mall at 10:30 on New Year's Day and go to Katie Mills." And I'm like, "Are you nuts?"
Katie Mills too.
And she goes, "Think about it. Everybody's hungover. Everybody had a rough night last night. No one's going to be there." The more I thought about it, the more I said, "Okay, we'll try it." It was a ghost town. It was the greatest lap and a half we could do. Taylor was running around all over, didn't have to worry about people, didn't have to worry about overcrowding, didn't have to worry about lines. We got back in the car. I was like, oh my God, all world call on my wife's part. That was fantastic.
That was a good call, because our mall was significantly more busy than that.
Was it really on New Year's Day?
Yeah, because I went.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was busy.
Wow. Well, yeah, the Katie Mills was a fantastic call. So that's what the family did to start New Year's Day 2020 the right way. So just a pro tip for next year.
Out there. Well, you
believe me. By the way, Grand Parkway, piece of cake too. Normally jammed up. It wasn't in Cinco Ranch and around that area. Not a problem. I was so, the first time in my life, I was giddy going to and coming back from the mall going, that was easy.
Well, you get like, man, Joel throws an attitude when he starts seeing traffic build up. Boy,
I don't like it.
He hates
And I don't
traffic.
Like people that don't know left lane, fast lane. And I'll tell you, the only thing that bothered me about yesterday was, all I look forward to at Katie Mills Mall is the Nike store, right? Guess who got stuff at the Nike store? Taylor. Not me. Taylor. That pisses me off.
That's how it works. What did she get? Get her some J's?
No, but she got some Nike Air.
That's cool.
As long as she thinks they make her run faster, and I like her Nikes rather than those stupid Paw Patrol shoes, so I'm good.
Are you like sticking to Nike with her, or you don't mind?
Oh, she has no choice. She's a swoosher. Swoosher, that's it. That's it. That's the way it goes. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Lots to get to. Got some of you that want to get in here about bowl games and other things. We got other people that just want to chime in as being an usual suspect. We're good with all the above and much more. So stay tuned for a lot more of the usual suspects right here, ESPN 97.5.
And driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. Because he's going the distance.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on on the Usual Suspects, hour one, 3 hour show. We continue to roll, and hopefully, whether you are still off for the rest of the week or you're back at it, we appreciate you being a suspect. There are some suspect bets that are being discussed that we'll bring up at some point because of the fact that, you know what, so many of you make these in your mind bets with us, and particularly me. And then, like, if you win, or in your mind you won, then you want, like, the world. I've paid, like, the Detroit what's-his-name last year made the bet on the Lions that I never made. But I because he said I lost it and we had to have lunch, I got him a gift card for lunch, even though we never made a bet. Now, Steelers fan Juan is out there with some ludicrous thing he created with desk fans that are have Steelers and Packers and things on there. And then I remember we said that, and Barry was very staunch too about the fact that we were going back and forth on who was going to win the division. And the Steelers had lost talent. It was back and forth. But I had said all along, the Packers are going to have a better record than the Steelers. Just like I said to Barry, one, I'll bet with you, Packers have a better record than the Texans. And he was in on that. But then he didn't ever, for obvious reasons, he didn't want to put any kind of dollar value on it. Oh, monetarily. Okay.
He didn't want to put no money on it. Okay.
Then our second bet was that the NFC North would have a better record than the AFC South. He was in on that. And again, once he saw how it was shaking out, he didn't want to put, but I'm fine with that because I let it roll. But it comes back at me when they think they've won. Now Steelers fan Juan is talking about the Browns. Barry's the one that poo-pooed all over the Browns back and forth and was going back on bets and things like that. But I don't know. Steelers fan Juan says he was looking. I owe him a Steelers fan or something like that. I'm like, and then if it doesn't make sense that if the Steelers crapped the bed, that he had to get a Packers fan that he was going to put in the studio. One, I don't want a Packers fan in the studio. No, I know you guys don't.
They and can get
two,
kind of
it
annoying.
Just goes to show you that it was a bet between Steelers and Packers, not anything to do with the Browns.
I feel like you need to stop making these bets.
Yeah, that I don't make in the first place. So with that being said, Greg wants to get in here on bowl games. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. I listen to the show. I love it.
Appreciate it.
I wish there was a better way to set up a system that would be a little bit better in terms of making the bowl games a little more relevant, as well as having a national championship game in the playoff system. And Lance brought up something earlier today that if you could move the championship game from, like, now we got it on the 13th, you got, what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks to wait for this game.
Right.
Well, if you put it, let's say, like 2 weeks after you like the semifinals, and you do it maybe like the 3rd or the 6th or the 8th, you know, something like that, where you have the spotlight to yourself and you don't have all this downtime, I think you can get the kind of interest that you normally, that fans would really be captivated by. And then, but let's say like games like the Rose Bowl or the Sugar or the Cotton would mean a little bit more if you say, hey, this is part of a semifinal system or something like that. You know, if you even at some point, if you expand the playoffs from 4 to 8, just get the top 8 teams.
Yeah, and Greg, you know, here's the thing.
So it's winners, and you have a couple of the largest, like large bits. I think people would really be energized by that.
Well, Greg, where are you looking at playing the semifinal games? Because look, like I said, I'm happy with the fact that the semifinal games are played a little bit earlier. And I understand that the objective with any kind of time in between is making sure both teams are as healthy as possible so you get the best possible matchup. But I think lost in the shuffle with all of that was the fact that at least the national championship game used to be played on January 3rd. And you had the hype leading up to the championship game, and then it was just a day in between to where you would have the biggest game of the year in college football. But now, I think the spacing of all of it is what I have the biggest issue with.
Yeah, the spacing does hurt it sometimes, especially because when you look at the schedule, if you think it's a two teams that are playing that may not have that much luster around them, there's two or three things usually that makes that a good game regardless. Strength of teams, obviously. Matchup quality, styles of play. Those three things.
And star players. Don't forget star players.
Star players are absolutely important. Right. Absolutely. And so, if you think on paper one of these games look like it'll be a good matchup, and it should, they seem evenly matched on paper, and then it's completely lopsided, it's disappointing. But the time, like you said, absolutely, it's It's definitely frustrating. I think it impacts the experience at the very minimum. But I did appreciate the January 3rd championship.
And Greg, you can chime in on what you feel like, because that's what I said. The national championship game, at least on the 3rd, was good. My other thing is, I hear what you're saying on the 8 team, and I've heard AJ and Fred and everybody kick this around too. The biggest problem I got is exactly what we said this year. There were only 3 teams that were the cream that rose to the crop. The cream of the crop. They rose to the top, and we knew who the 3 best teams in the country were. And we knew from 4 on, it was just for bragging rights to be one of the top 4 teams and get into the college football playoff. But we knew they were going to be a sacrificial lamb. So 8 teams, yeah, you say, well, the underdogs got a shot. But this year, I just didn't think that they did.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, because LSU was so vastly superior in some of the ways and some of the clubs. And I think, I think the club that you almost have to ask, who do they play, is Clemson, even though the ACC is what it is. I mean, I've gotten to see some of their games on the ACC network, and really, the ACC and the schools in the ACC and football, they've just got to do a better job of recruiting.
Sure.
And getting kind of talent that you could, go toe-to-toe with somebody like a Clemson. And what you said about Florida State, guys, that's true. I think their biggest problem is they're trying to resurrect the program that was built over a long period of time. When you're dealing with a different generation of kids that might not want to look at that as a legacy school, they still want to be able to go play somewhere. But they figure, well, if I go to Florida State, that's cool, but will I be in a major bowl game all the time?
Yeah.
And with Willie Taggart, they just weren't there. And even maybe when Jimbo was near the end, it wasn't as good as it could have been.
Appreciate the call, Greg. Happy New Year to you. Look, here's the other thing about Florida State that, again, being as good a friend as I am with Travis and some of the guys that Derek Brooks and guys that went to Florida State, they had a coup on the market because of Bobby Bowden, because of reputation, because of what they had done record-wise and resume-wise. But as we say about millennials or otherwise, kids are looking at it now, and there's a reason why Jimbo left. And there's a reason why these alums are trying to have, they're the ones that are having to try to resurrect the program. Because at a certain point, Bobby Bowden said, I don't need money from the state for facilities and whatever, because people are just going to want, kids are just going to want to come here. And that changes. And now you see the Oregons and the new players in the college football world, because they have facilities that are second to none, because they have these elaborate locker rooms and these elaborate dorms for the athletic department. Florida State has gotten caught and left behind because they can't get that money. And the reason why Jimbo's at A&M is because he not only got his contract, but he got the support of facilities and anything that he needed, he was going to have. Whereas at Florida State, a state school, you've got to get the state to approve it. And the state wasn't approving anything because they said under Coach Bowden, we didn't have to do that. Well, new day has come. And if you don't keep up with the Joneses, you're going to be left behind.
Texas A&M they have amazing facilities.
Oh, they sure do.
They look great. And we talked about how students will go for a jersey, a color, gear. They'll go to a certain program for a very, very specific and small reason sometimes. But you're right. Facilities help. I think, I don't know if it was A&M or another program, and they had like deodorizers.
No,
like,
it's Oklahoma.
For each
For your cleats, there's a slot that opens up in your locker.
It's crazy.
With air conditioned, either dryers to dry the cleats out or to deodorize them. It's all the different things.
Each player has one, though. That's insane.
Yes. And LSU has the first one that has sleep compartments. On your off hours of school, if you want to go to the locker room in the football facility and take a nap, it's like a drawer that comes out with a bed, and you can take a nap in the locker room.
It's amazing. I saw it the first time I saw it. I was like, these kids are just spoiled. But that's what people
want. Don't sleep on Phil Knight either. The reason why Oregon has come to prominence, because kids get off on the uniforms and the lockers and the swoosh, and the fact that they can have a new combination uniform every week in college football, different helmets, different uniforms. That is straight fire for kids coming out. They go, dude, I can have all of the facilities. I can have the greatest place in the world to study, work out, and I can have a new uniform every week. I'm in.
No doubt. No doubt at all.
All right. That's hour number one, 3-hour show. So we still got 2 to go. Means there's plenty of opportunities for you to be like Greg. Chime in. 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us on Twitter. Hour number 2 around the corner. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5. Show me all your love. All you're giving me is friction. Hey, sugar, what you gotta say? It started with a whisper.
This is ESPN 97.5. It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Lowe's helps pros like you put more toward your bottom line with everyday savings throughout the store. Like 10% off when you buy 12 or more cans of Great Stuff foam spray. Purchase 64 or more sheets of OSB and you'll also save 10%. And you can be sure that whatever size the job, we'll have the quantities you need in stock and ready to go. Order ahead at lowesforpros.com and pick up in store. Our pro loaders will be ready to load you up so you can get back to the job site faster. Today and every day. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. U.S. only.
In the process of building a new home or remodeling your present one, consider the benefits of an in-home elevator. Not only do home elevators add convenient full access, but they increase home values too. For four decades, the family-owned company of Marshall Stevenson Elevator has been installing elevators and is the nation's top dealer of Inclinator of America elevators. With a Marshall Stevenson Elevator consultation, you'll find the exact model and style suited to your specific needs. Learn more at MSELEV.com. MSELEV.com.
Friday, January 10th, live racing returns to Sam Houston Race Park. Kick off the 2020 live thoroughbred meet with 50 cent beer from 6 to 9. Get a luxury suite for 10 people for as little as $2.99. Friday and Saturday post times are 6:45 p.m. Visit shrp.com for this season's full live racing calendar and promotions. Sam Houston Race Park, Major League Racing, Major League Cash, Major League Fun. Platinum partner Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. Suddenly these husbands and dads are thrust onto battlefields where the fate of everything they care about will be decided. In the meantime, they must await the outcome in someone else's home this holiday season. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend. Chances are I've described someone that you count among your friends. Be sure to remember him this season.
Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Houston area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 832-844-0000. That's 832-844-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Houston, The Woodlands, St. Louis, and by appointment only in League City.
KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN. 97.5.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.